evening, and you are welcome to our news and current affairs program, Behind the News. I'm Agatha Samoa, and tonight, President Mahama's nominee for Vice President Emisasa appears before the Appointments Committee of Parliament on Monday. What will be the procedure for the vetting? We take a response from the August House. What do some political parties make of the choice of Mr. Emisasa as Vice President? And is it a done deal for Mr. Emisasa to be the running mate to President John Mahama in the December polls? We find out more from the NDC. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we bring you expert opinions and analysis from our resource spaces. You can also join in the discussions via text on 0266-677570. We are live on Unique 95.7 in Accra, Obonu FM 96.5 in Tema, and also Twin City 94.7 in Sekendi, Takwa, that's the Western Region. It's Behind the News. Now to fire that gutted some warehouses in Accra today. Fire has gutted three warehouses of three different companies at North Industrial Area in Accra, destroying property worth millions of cedis. The fire started around 10:30 in the morning. Our reporter, Linda Goji, who was just at the scene, has come back, and she's here to tell us more. You're welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Agatha.
So can you describe the scene to us?
Okay, it was a horrifying scene looking at the intensity of the fire and the thickness of the smoke emanating from the inferno. And some of the workers of the companies were around the scene looking at their faces. You could see that they are really sad, and the owners of the companies too, most of them were around. You could tell that they are really sad of what is happening. And as at the time I was leaving the scene, the National Fire Service, they've not been able to quench the fire totally, and the fire is still blazing, and it was horrifying.
Linda, what might have started the fire? What might have started the fire?
Okay, the Ghana National Fire Service didn't confirm what caused the fire, but I talked to some eyewitnesses around, and they said early in the morning, around 9:30, 10, and there was power outage, and 1 hour after that, the fire started. It drew the attention of their employers, and they tried to do something. They called the National Fire Service number 2. It wasn't going through. It was later that they came, and when they came to, one fire tender came first. And they realized that the intensity of the fire was too big for one water tender, so they had to bring in more tenders, and they brought 11 fire tenders, including 2 10 table ladders. That is an equipment that is we used to. That is able, can be able to quench the fire at a far distance.
So how are they managing to control the situation so that it does not spread to other areas?
Talking of controlling the situation, there is this fuel station close to where the fire is, and that was their main priority. That's the Ghana National Fire Service. They tried as much as possible to prevent the fire from getting to the fuel station, because what will happen if the fuel station, there is a gas filling station also there, that if something should happen, it will be disastrous. So they tried their best to control that aspect. And I learned the whole Greater Accra Fire Service stations were there. They tried everything they could, but still the fire was so big because of the liquid. There's this liquid explosives there that it's making it very difficult for them to quench the fire.
Well, we hope that they try as much as possible to douse the fire. But is there any life lost or anybody injured?
No, there was no nobody was. Nobody lost, there was no life lost over there, but around 2 p.m. there was a blast. You know, I stayed there from in the afternoon to around 7 p.m. and there was a blast. There was a blast, and people, out of the fear, people were running, and there was a little stampede, but it wasn't that serious. But I spoke to the police sergeant, Kwabena Danso, that is the PTBR of the Accra Regional Police Command, and he is saying that there was nothing like that, and that was just rumor. And he only confirmed an arrest of one guy who tried to steal something over there. That was the only thing that...
Well, we are very grateful for your time with us. That was Linda Goji, our reporter at the fire scene in Accra. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana Accra. Parliament will on Monday be the focus of attention when the Appointments Committee of the House vets the President's nominee, Pakwesi Misasa, for the post of Vice President of the Republic. The Speaker of Parliament, Justice Joyce Bamford Addo, at today's sitting of Parliament, communicated the President's choice of Vice President to the legislators. Let's listen to Justice Bamford Addo, who made the announcement to the members of the Parliament.
Right Honourable Speaker, nomination of Vice President. In accordance with Article 67 of the 1992 Constitution of the Republic of Ghana, I hereby nominate for approval of Parliament Mr. Kosibe Okoh-Emeka-Asa, currently the Governor of the Bank of Ghana and Vice President of the Republic of Ghana. Please find attached this curriculum vitae. Please accept writing about the assurances of my highest consideration. And at the time, John Dramani Mahama, President of the Republic of Ghana. Honorable members, I have to refer this to the Appointments Committee for consideration and report to the House, and I accordingly refer it to the Appointments Committee.
That was the Speaker of Parliament, Justice Bamford Addo, informing Parliament about the nomination Kwesi Emisasa for the position of Vice President. We have the minority leader, Osei Chairman Sabunsu, to tell us how the process will go on Monday. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Good evening. So, what will be the procedure for the vetting of Mr. Emisasa as the Vice President?
Well, the usual result has to do with we've had to which the process is a bit. Normally, it's the person is nominated and the referral is made to the appointment committee. Within meeting over the nominee, we advertise for the public to input or submit memoranda if they have any to the secretariat of the appointment committee. Given the circumstances of these times, the fact that we would not have the luxury of time, we have decided to abridge that period of time to Monday, at the beginning today to Monday. Then we will also set at 9 o'clock and try to conclude business a little by 12 noon on Monday. Further, we have agreed to have the public hearing of it. So those are the three things that we decided to do. And we have decided to endeavor to write the report, which may ensue from the consideration of the nominee, try to conclude as early as possible. And if Parliament will be sitting when we have concluded the writing of the report, then we shall submit them to Parliament. And if, as I said, they are sitting, then they will consider the nominee for approval or otherwise. So we intend to conclude the processes in Monday.
Mr. Mesa, with some critics are of the view that with the public hearing, it will expose the Vice President to public ridicule in case there are lapses in the process.
Well, I don't agree with it at all. I have a fundamental disagreement of people who are indicating that why? Because you see, the president himself submits himself to public jeopardy in the electioneering campaign period. The president himself. Is the president being subjected to public ridicule by that conduct? I don't think so. And we know that when the president has been sworn in fact, the president does so with his vice president. Now, the president has transitioned, the vice president has taken over. Somebody who is being nominated by the current president to fill in that vacancy is not subjecting himself or herself to public scrutiny. The scrutiny, we agree, should be done on behalf of the generality of our citizens by the representatives of the people. And I think, I don't see anything wrong with that at all. I see nothing wrong with that. So I think that we should carry on. And then further, the language of the Constitution is clear. The Constitution says that Parliament shall approve of the nominee. And wherever the Constitution has used that language, some scrutiny must be done. And the scrutiny, after it's been done, is then submitted to Parliament. The report is submitted to Parliament for acceptance or otherwise. And that exactly is what we intend to do. We are not unmindful of the mood of the country. We are not unmindful of that. We know the exigencies of the current situation. And we know the need to unite the country. We know all this. But we also know that because the person who is going to be vetted has the potential of leading us. Let's not forget the circumstances that have ushered in President John Mahama. Mm-hmm. Perish the thoughts. Let it not be our portion as a nation. But potential. We could have a situation where maybe we approve of the nominee. He's sworn in by the Chief Justice, and not long after something happens and he becomes the president of this country, and he is not subjected to any scrutiny at all. The Constitution talks about, in Article 62 of the Constitution, talks about some eligibility and suitability standards that the person should be subjected to. Who should subject the person to that scrutiny now? And I think the people's representatives have every right to do that. So I don't agree with those who say that we should not do it. Even if we have to do that, it shouldn't be in public. There should be some in-camera consideration.
Why not in camera, but in public?
Because the president, when he's going about soliciting for votes, doesn't do it in camera, and he is the ultimate, and people have every right to ask any question they ask of the president when he goes about in that manner, which is why I'm saying that the president subjects himself to the vetting by the general public. This one is not by the general public, but it's going to be by the representatives of the general public, just a few of us in Parliament. So I think it's fit and proper that we allow the people to do that.
But then, Mr. Abu, is there anything stated in the Constitution on how the vetting should be conducted, or is just for approval?
Well, the Constitution uses the language approval. The Parliament itself, it is, that has decided that we should use that purpose-built vehicle of the Ghanaian Committee. So that is
it. With this, will you then say that there is a lapse in the Constitution?
What lapse?
As it doesn't state specifically what should be done.
Do vetting.
Yeah.
You know, you remember that when in the case of the Republic, that is the case relating to the whole Evan minister in 1997, the court upheld that yes, when the constitution talks about approval, there should be some form of scrutiny. But the method of scrutiny, of vetting, they said is a term of art. In other words, the court cannot prescribe the form of vetting to Parliament. Parliament can decide on its own how to do the vetting. But that is it. It means that some vetting, some scrutiny must be done in order to establish the propriety or otherwise nominee's fitness. So that is what we are going to do.
So in what ways can members of the public contribute or make their views known on the nominee?
Well, as we have always done, we advertise for the public to submit memoranda and any inputs to Parliament, and they will be required that they submit those pieces of information to the Secretariat of the Appointment Committee.
All right, Mr. Said Chemes, I will hold the line for us as we go to Vitus Azim, who is Executive Secretary of Ghana Integrity Initiative. You are welcome, Mr. Azim.
Thank you.
So what do you make of the public hearing of the vetting of the Vice President?
I think it is a welcome idea. When a candidate decides to contest for the presidency, he subjects himself to the public, he roams the whole country, subjects himself to questions from the public and answers those questions. Fortunately for this vice presidential candidate, he's just handpicked by one person or maybe with a party. And so if there are questions for him to answer, I think it's a good idea that he should answer those questions. Because Ghanaians want to be satisfied that their vice president is the right person for them.
So what issues would you want the members of the vetting committee to put to the nominee?
Well, I believe that he would have submitted a CV to the vetting committee. They would have known his past performance. They would have they would have already come out with some questions that they're going to ask. For example, was he a registered member of the political party, the NDC party? Because as a member of, as the governor of the Bank of Ghana, there are certain institutions that are not allowed to publicly belong to political parties. So that is a question that I believe the opposition would definitely want him to try to explain. How come he is being nominated by the NDC to be a vice presidential candidate? There could be other issues. Maybe things that he has done in the past or has failed to do in the past that they will ask him to answer. I don't know the questions because I'm not part of I'm not part of Parliament. But I think that these are areas that they are going to ask his past performance. If he has done something wrong or he has done sentences he should have done in the Bank of Ghana that he has not done, these are the questions that they will ask him to answer. Whether he has the necessary qualifications, whether he thinks he has the capacity to be a vice president, whether he has the interests of the country at heart.
Well, Mr. Azim, coming back to the public hearing, and some critics are of the view that the public hearing will expose the vice president to public ridicule in case there are lapses in the process.
Well, if you decide to put yourself up as a public officer, the extent of becoming vice president of this country, it means that you would have looked at your past. You would have ensured yourself that there's nothing that will be embarrassing to you and that you are willing to answer any question that will be asked to you before you put up yourself. If you know you have skeletons in your cupboard, you should not even accept to be put as a vice presidential candidate. So there should be nothing like embarrassing or and that kind of thing. He's a public officer. He's going to be paid by the state. He's going to be ruling this country. In the absence of the president, he becomes president. So Ghanaians will want to be happy and satisfied that, yes, he has met the conditions of being the first or at least the second person in this country that can rule this country. And he should have nothing to hide.
Now, Mr. Azim, were you surprised at the choice of Mr. Emisata as the vice president?
I don't know him personally. I know at some stage he was a deputy minister of finance or something. I haven't had any personal interaction with him. So I wouldn't say I was surprised or not surprised, but the president had to choose somebody. And the president chose somebody. My feeling at the time when they were talking about choosing somebody was that since the president looked young, I felt that he needed somebody a bit older than him to help him in running this country. And I think I think that the choice is okay, except that, as I said, I don't know much about his personal behavior. I mean, his past. I cannot judge him on his past.
We are very grateful for your time. Vitus Azim is the Executive Secretary of Ghana Integrity Initiative. Now, back to you, Mr. Seche Mensabunsi. Will you say the circumstances that the country finds itself now has tested the constitution?
Well, you think that you have been witness such a situation before. I would say that it's a bit of a step. In the first place, there are some people who have the strong opinion, for instance, that Article 60.10 of the Constitution, where it says that the president shall upon assuming office, the vice president shall upon assuming the office of the president, submit a name to parliament for approval. There are some who believe that the use of the word upon the word upon assuming office means that there should be some immediacy or urgency about it, and that it should mean that the president should act with some dispatch, considerable dispatch, and they want to even imply that it ought to have been done within 24 hours after the swearing in of the president. That is something. As far as I'm concerned, there should be some reasonable time within which the new president is to act, particularly when the president that you served under died in such, an unheralded circumstance. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are Ghanaian. Let's fancy the situation that maybe the president was sworn in, and then perhaps an hour later, he submits to Parliament the name of the vice president. What would the people have said? Or even within 24 hours? People would have said that, well, he contributed to the death of the president. Let's face it. We are Africans. We are Ghanaians. So, but I think that there should be some reasonable time in which the president should act, which is why the president indicated that he was submitting the name to Parliament last Thursday. I was okay with this. But admittedly, when he didn't submit the name last Thursday, and we had an indication that it was going to come to Parliament yesterday, I was a bit worried. Why? Because I thought that having waited for that long, that is up to the 8th day, and the 8th day is a significant occasion to mark the departure of the president, at least in the Akan tradition. I thought that if it came, it will first of all distract from the event, and then it might perhaps even offend the sensibility of those who were in the state of mourning and shock. So I thought maybe if you had waited for at least one more day, that would be better. But well, the good thing is, it came late in the evening, but I thought I could have waited until the plane. But these are matters that
people may want to subject to critical thinking. And so I believe that is it. I think finally, let me just add.
All right.
That when we come to consider the qualifications and eligibility of the vice president, you know, when it comes to considering that of the ministers and deputies, you know, they could be reshuffled.
All right.
They could be reshuffled. But the vice president cannot be reshuffled. So in the case of the vice president, you can really test his competence in the place, I mean, and suitability for the place that he's going to, the profession that he's going to occupy.
All right.
Reason being that, indeed, it is a permanent place, and he cannot be reshuffled. So you can stretch it all the more.
All right.
But, I mean, we'll come there and we'll see what to do.
We are very grateful for your time with us.
Thank
you. Osei J. Mensah-Bunsu is the minority leader in Parliament. It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana Accra. It's also live on Radio BAR 93.5 in Sunyaim. Now, Dr. Seydou Alidou is a political science lecturer at the University of Ghana, and he has joined us. You're welcome, Doc.
Thank you very much.
So, what do you make of the choice of nominating Emisat as vice president?
Okay, we all know under the circumstance under which our current president rose to that position, first one to Article 56 of the 1992 Constitution, and also Article 610 of that same Constitution required him to nominate somebody for the position of the vice president, subject to parliamentary approval. So I think the person he has nominated, the question now is, has he chosen a vice president of the Republic of Ghana or a vice president and then a running mate? When we look at it from the perspective of a vice president,
mm-hmm.
he has chosen someone who is a technocrat, who is an economist, who is a researcher, and who has worked with the NDC for quite some time now.
What does he bring then to the governance of the country?
I think the vice president, because you said that the vice president is the head of the economic team of the government.
Yeah.
And currently, if you look at we face a lot of problems as a nation, but most of these problems is carried by the economy. So if you have a very good economy, we'll be able to solve some of these problems that we are facing, like the social and several other problems. So I think from that particular perspective, and as a head of the economic team of the government, the current vice president nominee will bring a lot of experience to bear on the governance of the state. Then when we look at him from the perspective of a running mate, also pending approval by the NDC National Executive Committee, he also brings a lot, because we know that the MPP as a political party has been thwarting the values, the experiences, and then the economic nature of their running mate, who is Dr. Muhammadu Bawumia.
Yeah.
So when we consider the vice president nominee now, he cancels that particular advantage that the MPP was having over the NDC with regards to management of the economy and then the resources that was at the disposal, intellectual resource at the disposal of Dr. Muhammadu Bawumia. So that particular advantage is being cancelled by the appointment of this current vice president. Apart from that, he's also a cool-headed person, very calm and then humble, and he's somebody that the president can work with so that he will not face a lot of competition and then somebody who is trying to overshadow him. He can work very well with the president. And also choosing someone from the central region also add a lot to the ticket if he's going to be a running mate, because we know that the central region is one of the most swing regions in Ghana's election history. When we look at 2004, with the decision that they made, which supported President Kufuor was gaining power, and also the decision that they made in 2008, which supported President John Evans Atta-Mo. So picking somebody from that particular region, and also the same tribe as ethnic background as the late president, sends a lot of signal to the people of the central region that they have not been forgotten, and then several other things. So I think if when we look at all these particular factors, we see that the vice president nominee brings a lot. The only disadvantage, however, is that not when we look at the experience of the MPP in the 2008 election, we realize that not all technocrats make good politicians.
Mm-hmm.
If he may be an exception, but if you consider what happened in the 2008 election. A lot of people believe that Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia was a technocrat and was not so exposed to the Ghanaian political scene, and made it very difficult for him to contribute his quota to the election. And if you look at that particular period, the NPP had a lot of chance. They saw it time from the period that the vice president was, the running mate was announced up to the time that we had election. But this time the period is very short, like 4 to 5 months. So it will be very difficult if he is going to, if it's not an exception, and then fall to the same, thinking that most technocrats are not good politicians, then it's going to be a problem for the NPP. And also, he's very known within the NDC party structure, but a lot of Ghanaians don't know him as it stands now. So it will also take a lot of time for the NDC to market him and then sell him to the Ghanaian public.
But for now, do you foresee the likelihood of the NDC picking another person apart from Emisafa as its running mate?
Yeah, that is possible, because for now, even the flag bearership of the current president, John Dramani Mahama, even leading the NDC, the 2012 election, is also subject to an emergency, Congress approval. So we don't know whether he'll be approved, even though the chances are that he will be approved. But even he may not be approved. So we can also say the same. We still don't know whether Mr. Amisa is only a vice president, or he is going to be a running mate for John Dramani Mahama, President John Dramani Mahama, if he's approved around September 1st by the NDC Congress. So I'm not very sure. But whatever the case might be, he will have his advantage and then disadvantage the ticket.
But are we expecting any surprises in the run-up to the December polls? Because some people are predicting a runoff.
It's likely, because if you look at now, our major problem now has to do with stabilizing our economy and then our depreciating CD and several other things. So we needed somebody with a lot of technocratic background, a lot of an expert in economics and all those things to help manage the economy. The NPP made a very fantastic job by choosing Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, and then the NDC has done the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that they neutralize each other. So the main choice has to do with the message and then the personality. That is the president, John Dramani Mahama, and then the opposition MPP's flag bearer, who is Nana Adodankwa Akufo-Addo. And both these two candidates are all seasoned politicians. They are all good strategists, and they all know what they are about. So it's highly likely that it may go to a second round. But I'm not saying that may be the case, because some people still believe that the NDC, if they are able to maintain the momentum that they have now up to the December election, they may win some sympathy votes from floating voters, and that may also help them cause the breach.
All right. We are very grateful for your time. Dr. Right. Seydou Alidou is a political science lecturer at the University of Ghana. And also joining us on the line is Niyama Akunfa, who is a CPP Communications Director. You are welcome, Mr. Akunfa.
Good evening to your listeners. Good evening to fellow Ghanaians.
Good evening. Is the CPP surprised at the choice of Mr. Emisafa?
A little surprised, but I think there are a number of issues. There's a constitutional requirement. There's also the party's own requirement. And as your other guests have said, the constitutional requirement is that the current president needs to choose a vice president. He's done that. Going forward, he needs to be confirmed. When he's confirmed, the number of issues that the NDC needs to address, the issue of unity, the issue of somebody who can stand in when the president is not there, the current president, President Mahama, having been a vice president, will understand the issues at stake. You need somebody who probably has a little bit of political astuteness, somebody who's entrusted in the NDC, who can bring that unity, who can reassure NDC rank and file that they can unite and take the party forward. So many, many issues. That's why perhaps may not be sure whether in the end Mr. Alpha will be necessarily the running mate. It's too early to say whether he will definitely be the running mate. But I think for now, the issue of the managing the financial affairs of the country is very important. The city has been depreciating, and the former vice president who was in charge of economic management is now going to be fully campaigning. So you can see why they may need somebody else to lead the economic management team, whether that will make a difference or not, because after all, the governor is involved, has been involved in the economic management of the country. So whether changing hats will make any difference or not remains to be seen. And whether he's the person who can be on the ticket to reassure the country, to assure the international community, to reassure NDC members and to bring unity will remain to be seen. But I think it's too early to talk about how they fight the campaign or whether they're seeking to match the NDC. Whatever they do, I think in the end, when we finish a decent morning for the president, return to the issues, and the country can then decide who's best placed to lead the country going forward.
Now, you are going to contest the NDC in the December polls. Will you advise the ruling party to retain him as their running mate?
Well, I think it's not for us to decide who the who other parties choose for their running mate. It's for them to choose. But whatever decision they make, when we return to the battle, we will point out whatever weaknesses we feel there, you know, there are. I mean, we will point out whatever weaknesses. Obviously, if the NDC can go into the election with the same vision that they had recently, then that will be a flaw. And so you would think that somebody will be needed to bring that unity. If that unity doesn't come, then it will be a weakness that any opponent will exploit.
Now, talking about him as the vice president of the country, do you agree that the vice president of me should be vetted publicly?
Yes, certainly. I think to be vice president of this country, you need to be vetted in the same way as any other person is vetted.
Now, what piece of advice do you have for the members of the vetting committee when Mr. Imisat appears before them on Monday?
Well, in vetting anybody for public office, a number of criteria that has already been set over many, many years by vetting committees, whether the person has any skeletons in their cupboard, whether indeed they qualify to be a public servant, certainly to be the number two person in the country. And certainly issues of competence may also come in, but I don't think in this instance that's going to be much of the case. So it's going to be a question of whether he qualifies and meets all the criteria to be a public servant.
Now, before I let you go, currently, what do you make of the burial place for the late President Atta Mills?
Well, lots of issues, and I think, again, it's about consensus. Our flag bearer had proposed when we went to visit the president and extend our condolences to him and the presidency, had proposed that a library be built in his honor. That library can be built in his in the region. The family can be involved. The issue now seems to be whether we have we go forward having a place where we can bury future presidents, or whether we allow the situation as is now to continue, i.e. a president can be buried in his hometown, he can be buried by the family, wherever. And I think currently I think there should be a permanent place where we bury future presidents, just to show that we respect and honor them. Issues of maintenance going into the future are clear. It's clear that they will be in forever, have a place of dignity, and all of that helps.
Many thanks.
Our house or Nkrumah Memorial Park, well, I think Memorial Park should be left intact. It's a place which currently is housing the third president. If you're going to bury other presidents there, you may need to change the name. And I don't think the country was ready to change the name of the Memorial Park.
All right. Many thanks for your time with us. Niamah Akunfry, the CPP Communications Director, and also joining us on the line is Anthony Kabo, who is the National Youth Organizer of the NPP. You are welcome, Tony.
Thank you very much, my sister. And how are you doing?
I'm good. So, correct or wrong choice made by President Mahama on the vice president nominee?
Well, I think that the president reserves the right to make a choice, and we also reserve the right to comment on the choice of the president. And so, It is not for me to, or the party or any other person except for the president himself, to make that determination. And once that determination is made, it then invites us political actors to be able to analyze the situation. Well, listening to the NDC and the kinds of things they have said about Mr. Atta and the role that he's supposed to be playing is supposed to be purely economic management. Because the vice president himself, now president, or the former vice president himself and now president of the republic, used to be the head of the economic management team. And we certainly don't know what record he's left back as a vice president for the past 3.5 years. And of course, we also do know that as a member of his economic management team was the governor of the bank, who was in the name of Mr. Atta. But before I even proceed, I want to make this correction. Is he a doctor or is he a mister? Because I keep hearing conflicting reports. I don't know what the national radio has been able to pick on that, you know, so we can have a proper address of the man himself. But be that as it may, the point I'm trying to make is that Mr. Atta and John Dramani Mahama, former vice president, mm-hmm. were virtually together in the management of the economy. And we saw clearly what that record had been in the last 3.5 years. We talked about the single-digit inflation. They talk about, you know, the exchange rate. We're talking about the depreciation of our city. We're talking about the slowing down of the business, the contraction of the economy. That is the record that these people do have. And so I don't see what new that is. So I don't know what new Mr. Atta will bring onto the ticket of the NDC, but be it as it may, it is a party's decision. The party has endorsed the decision, supposed to go to parliament for the parliamentary approval and vetting. And so there are a lot more questions that are going to be answered that Mr. Atta will have to answer.
Well, Tony, some have said the NPP is threatened by his vast experience as compared to your running mate, Dr. Aubameyang, in case Mr. Atta is retained as NDC running mate.
Well, Mr. Atta was in full position when Dr. Aubameyang gave his most thunderous lecture that shook the entire country. He never commented, he never made a comment, he never contradicted. The IMF arrived from Ghana, from the Washington, and came to confirm every little thing that has been said. Everything he has said has not been contested. So I'm asking, what is new, or what is he coming to explain? If you are unable to tell us about the present, what are you going to be saying about the future? Because the present is boiling. What are you going to be telling us about the future? So there are major issues, like I keep saying, that Mr. Atta will have to answer. We certainly are not threatened by the fact that he's been in charge as governor. We talked to Dr. Mahmoud Aubameyang and his vast experience and the things that he has done, the legacy that he has to show. It's a tall order, and I'll be running out of time.
All right, Tony.
I'll go over all of this with you. But the point that I want to make is that there is no way that this ticket is certainly a threat to the New Patriotic Party. We certainly think that there are more questions surrounding his candidature, and now you are hearing about him becoming vice president and running mate. There are all sorts of rancorous
questions
going on in the NDC, which we'll have to engage in the later days.
Many thanks for your time with us. Tony Kabo is a national youth organizer of the NPP. Ani Alotebru Hammond is the chairman of the PPP. You're welcome, sir.
Yes, good evening to your viewers and listeners.
Good evening. So how did you receive the announcement that Mr. Misata has been nominated for the vacant vice president position?
Our initial reaction was to wish him well and to wish the NDC well. The Progressive People's Party remains on course with its message and its agenda for change, and is unperturbed by the elevation of Mr. Emisa Atta to the position of the vice presidency. He comes in with some experience, we acknowledge. He's been a deputy minister of finance before and has become the governor of Ghana for a number of years now. He's also taught finance and economics in tertiary institutions in Ghana and in Nigeria. So we know that he is a seasoned economist,
right,
a seasoned financial expert. But we are not perturbed by it at all in the least.
So, Mr. Brihamon, how would you expect the vetting to be done, in public or in camera?
I would think that the interest Ghanaians are assigning to this particular assignment requires that the vetting should be done in full view of the public, so that we can see what type of questions are being asked of him and how his responses are.
We are very grateful for your time. Ni Alotebu Hammond is the chairman of the PPP. And also joining us on the line is Bernard Mona, who is the general secretary of the PNC. You are welcome, Bernard.
Thank you, sir.
I'll also ask you the same question. How did you receive the announcement that Mr. Misata has been nominated for the vacant vice president position?
Well, for us in the PNC, we don't see it as any surprise. We know that Misata has been a member of the NDC. He has been a deputy minister for finance. He ascended to the position of governor of the Bank of Ghana. And he was among several that were being considered or whose names came up for position of vice president. So his nomination is that he's supposed to be a sympathizer or a member of the National Democratic Congress. We congratulate him for the nomination.
Well, he's expected to be appear in Parliament on Monday. What issues would you want members of the vetting committee to put to him?
What is he going to do there?
They are going to vet him, the appointments committee.
I don't think that there is any merit in that. If you ask my personal position, I would think that Parliament is just going to approve him, and that's all.
All right.
And if you read carefully in the Constitution of Ghana, it does not say that the nominee should appear for even parliamentary vetting. It's amazing when I listen to some of the commentary, people asking about his clout, his qualification, and what have you. You have to be a citizen of Ghana. You have to be 40 years of age. You have to be of sound mind. It didn't tell somebody that you have to have a PhD. You have to be an economics. And so when people are saying that his qualification and competences, he could be one of our people chosen from the farm to come and be vice president. Will you say that he's not qualified? So when I listen to others talking about his qualification, I'm wondering what qualification they are talking about, because the Constitution of Ghana did not talk about educational qualification as basis for one to ascend to a high office in this country. It is not a technocratic thing. The other important thing that all of us have to come to point is that, look, this nation is governed by laws. And we have seen our parliament time without number, even when it comes to the vetting of deputy ministerial and ministers. It's pathetic. So I just think that, look, once again, another public show. Let them bring TV cameras. Let them expend state resources. And we just see the face of the man, and that is it.
All right.
As to his competences and capabilities, we are not contesting him or he's not contesting elections in the first place. Secondly, he's just vice president of Ghana.
Okay.
Which of us in the political parties is able to say that he's automatic selection for running mate for 2012?
Very well. We are very grateful for your time. Bernard Mona is the general secretary of the PNC. Now, Yao Boatinjan is the national organizer of the NDC, and he has joined us on the line. You are welcome, Mr. Boatinjan.
Thank you very much.
So what has been the role of the party in the nomination of Mr. Misata as the vice president?
We do not have any problem with the nomination of KB Misata as the vice president for now. And people are just misconstruing what some of us have been telling the public. You know, we have two issues here. Constitutionally, if I say constitutionally, I think the president, you know, is mandated to get somebody to serve as the vice president, you know, to fill the vacuum. Having he been the former vice president, you know, elevated to that a high position of the president of this land, you know, by the constitution, as the constitution prescribed us to do. Now, after he has nominated somebody, I think everybody knows that that person should appear before Parliament for approval. What the party needs to do now is that we've gone to a neck meeting. We have proposed that he will be our flag bearer. Then we have slated before 1st September, either 1st September or before 1st September, you know, to call a Congress to rectify the proposal that NEC had made. And after we have endorsed him as our flag bearer, then of course our constitution also mandates him to bring somebody or name somebody as his running mate. Then of course we will also deliberate over that issue and come in to endorse a person as his running mate. So as it is now, the national constitution mandates the president, you know, to choose somebody to serve as the vice president. That is exactly what he has done. And not until we have endorsed him as our flag bearer, we, the party, do not even have any say whatsoever, you know, as to who is to be his running mate. That is exactly the case.
So, Mr. Abuachinja, should the governor of the Bank of Ghana get the nod, does he automatically become the running mate of President Mahama for 2012 elections?
No. I think you are mixing two issues here. I have explained myself very well. If you were listening to me very well, I told you that the national constitution mandates the president, as the case is now, you know, to elect somebody to be his vice, for them to finish the term that a late president couldn't because of what has happened.
So it's probable that he can be retained as a running mate of the president or rejected by the party.
Mate, he himself, he could be retained. The president could choose him as the running mate, and he will present him to us for us to accept him at next meeting, and that is it. But we are not talking about running mate now, because we haven't even finished with the issue of our flag bearer. We have proposed him at a meeting at NEC. It is up to the Congress, you know, to accept, to endorse him. Then, of course, we will come out to tell him that, okay, now we have endorsed you. Present somebody or name somebody who will be your running mate. Then, of course, that person will also be endorsed as a running mate. So, let us look at what is happening now, and that is what the national constitution says. And he is, you know, obliged to get somebody to be his vice. And I think it ends there. Not until we have endorsed him after 1st September, we do not even have to talk about a running mate at all.
All right. Many thanks for your time with us. Yeah, Boatindan is the national organizer of the NDC. Now let's go to the regions to gauge their reaction of the nominee of Mr. Emisa Arthur as the vice president. And Swala Abdul Wahab is on the line. You're welcome, Swala.
Thank you, Agatha.
So what was the feeling among the people of the Upper West region on the nomination of Mr. Emisa Arthur?
The feeling of people in the Upper West region here has been a mixed one. I have spoken with a number of people, both political activists and people I would describe as ordinary, that is, people whose political affiliations are not known to me. A number of people I spoke with told me that they are surprised with the nomination of Mr. and Mr. Atta as the Vice President of the Republic of Ghana, of course, which is subject to approval by Parliament. This is because they say they know him to be a technocrat, but not a politician like the current president, who was a politician before his nomination as the Vice President of Ghana. But nonetheless, they are saying that his performance as the governor of the Bank of Ghana, when taken into consideration, is fit for the job, because he is coming to be the head of a government economic management team. But then there are others who also think that if the government thinks he has done so well with the management of the economy, why is he not left there to continue with his good work, so that the other able people who are in the NDC can be appointed, can be nominated, yes, to serve as the vice president for the country.
Yes, thanks for your time with us. Swala Abdul Wahab is our Upper West Regional Correspondent. And also joining us on the line is Kofi Sechama Pobi from the Central Region. Kofi, you are welcome.
Yes, thank you very much, Agatha.
So how did the people of the Central Region receive the news?
Yeah, definitely. You should know that Dr. Atta Emisa is a native of Cape Coast. So when I went to town to speak to people, they were elated that at least one of their own people has been chosen as the vice president to partner President John Dramani Mahama.
Were there no mixed feelings as to some people would have preferred another choice other than Mr. Imisanafa?
Oh, of course. You know, this, yes, the political terrain that we have. Earlier, there were names, the big wigs from the NDC that people were speculating. But at the end of the day, they could not match whatever they desired. So it looks as if that other people were a little bit not happy. But at the end of the day, the vice presidential slot is coming to the central region. And I also spoke to one man, Mr. Smith Asante, who tells me that now that he believes that the gear has shifted from those who are in active politics, and now they are picking technocrats. And he believes that though it is a good sign, but he believes that it will not create a vacuum, especially when, you know, the MPP vice presidential candidate is coming from the Bank of Ghana. He's also a technocrat. He was a deputy governor and now the governor. So that is not create a vacuum there. But he thinks that definitely if you want somebody who can partner the president and be somebody with economic background so that we can have a very resilient and robust economy that we are all yearning for.
All right.
Earlier, I also visited the family.
Yeah, briefly.
Hello?
Yeah, briefly. What did they say?
Yes, I also visited the family of Dr. Asa Emisa, and I met the mother, Mrs. Emisa Asa, who was very, very, very happy. And I also met the father, an 89-year-old Mr. Emisa Asa, but he is a little bit old. But the smiles on his face could tell that at least they are very happy that their son.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kofi. Kofi Sechamapubi is our central regional correspondent. Thomas Nsowaje is on the line. Thomas, you are welcome.
Thank you.
So how did the Asante region receive this news?
Well, almost all the stations this morning dominated their stations with the nomination of Mr. Misata to the position of the vice president. I talked to people one-on-one, and looking at where they were coming from, some were saying the man is very good, character-wise, he hasn't got any bad record, he can partner President Mahama to run the 2012 election.
All right, Thomas. We are very grateful for your time. Thomas Nsowaje is our Ashanti regional correspondent, and these are some of your text messages. May God help John Mahama and lead him to make the best decision. Julius Whitecross. The Northern Region NDC executive members will cripple their own Mahama through their unfair administration. Dr. Saeed. The NDC criticized a lot when Nana chose Baumia as a running mate. Now that Mahama has also chosen Emisafa from the same institution as his running mate, they are talking differently about their choice, and that's from Kwame Ansako Manse. Mr. Emisafa's appointment as VP is good for the NDC. Our victory is assured. Matthias, who Mr. Afa's vetting should be viewed in public and not in closed doors. That's from Prince Day to Tua Simon. It's good that President Mahama chose an economist as his vice. The state of our economy is not in good shape at all. I wish him well. That's from Yao Sakinde Taifa. And what an educative program. I really love Behind the News and its crew. The best decision so far is what the president has taken. That's from Ben Sefi Bekwain. And many thanks for your text messages. And this is where we wrap up for tonight's edition. Niteko IE controlled the sounds. My producers were Christopher Siedu, Edmond Tete, Bright Agama, Phyllis Kofi, and John Pobilili. Therefore, was my summarizer. Amagasa Samoa, and many thanks for staying tuned.